L, we are about to embark on some pretty hellacious travel for work and otherwise, so it's a great time to be receiving things before we take off. What I'm trying to ask you is, have you received your ham?
What a way to start the show. Hi, have you received your ham? For those of you that are first-time viewers,
slash listeners, multi-platform show.
To the L. Duncan Show. Welcome to it with Gary Streisky. We like free... Most people do. Sometimes, unintentionally, you get gifted and blessed. Let's say with a honey-baked ham because you shouted them out on the last show.
They deserve it.
Just for how delicious their sandwiches were at Laura Rutledge's child's birthday party. And lo and behold, sometimes you just throw these things out into the atmosphere and the universe rewards you with a what, Gary?
With an entire spiral sliced honey baked ham.
8 pounds, baby.
On our doorstep.
Just right there. I'm like.
Glazed and everything, ready to go.
Yo, I am so impressed and also a little weirded out. How do they know where I live?
The ham fam knows. Ryan, the ham fam. He knows.
It just appeared,
just
Gary.
Just showed up and it was there.
Because a lot of times people will spoil it by like reaching out for your, we heard you shouted us out. We'd love to give you something. They were so smooth. They just tweeted at us like winky face, like, bet your kids are going to love this ham. Yeah. So of course, what do? I run to the group text for the podcast along with our great producer, Sarah and Christina. And I'm like, yo, is this indicative? Is he intimating that we're going to get some fresh, delicious, smoked swine right there on our door.
Wow.
And lo and behold, the ham showed up.
Shout out to the ham fam.
Yeah.
Now it's time to start the show presented by Rolex.
They'll really keep us on time.
That's
it
right.
Never stops moving.
Just like the smooth ride of... the all-new Lexus IS 300.
You know, some might say, I just want my roly, roly, roly with a dab of ranch, Hidden Valley Ranch.
Yep.
Which could also sponsor this show.
What an eclectic mix. We're going to need something to wash that down with.
What could it be?
I don't know. We'll think about that over a ice-cold glass of Coca-Cola Zero. Hey, you're from Atlanta. Why do we not have a Coca-Cola Zero sponsorship?
Your guess is as good
Damn.
As mine, you know?
All right.
All right, Coke. Get okay. on it.
Please.
Are we done being shameless?
Yes.
Let's start the show.
Okay.
So week 5 of the NFL just wrapped up? Week 6? Week 6 of the NFL. We're really rolling.
Yeah, we are.
And of course, we love to bring you the internet's favorite segment, at least the segment of the internet that is incredibly ADD like we are. Also, ADHD,
Squirrel.
You're welcome here. Right. So we like to do a little something where we wrap up just a whole weekend of NFL action for you in, I don't know, 2 to 3 minutes, depending on how many ADD tours we take.
Boom, 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 boom.
It's time for Too Long Didn't Watch NFL Week 6.
And it's an international program, so... we're going to Foggy London Town. The Ravens went there and turned football into soccer against the Titans. 6 field goals from the Ice Road Tucker. Oi, bruv! The Ravens beat the Titans.
I love that you sort of abandoned Chip on the accent like immediately.
I don't have many.
You bailed.
I don't have many to go
the
to.
The Ravens went to London and turned football into soccer.
Oh.
6 field goals from the Ice Road Tucker. Oi, bruv!
That was very Sweeney Todd of you. Gosh.
It got a little that way.
A little bit.
The Niners losing to the P.J. Walker-led Browns is a reminder that even supermodels fart in the bed. Side note, so glad that P.J. Walker could leap from the 6 p.m. slot on UPN solving legal issues for his quirky neighbors to go quarterback for the Browns.
Damn, that was a deep pull. Also, get the farting out of the way early in a relationship. It just allows the relationship to be more free, be more open.
No, but don't like intentionally do it. Like if something ekes out, don't run from it. Don't be embarrassed. Don't claim you didn't do it, but don't just like proudly be like, let me force this issue and toot in your face just to say we've done it. That's gross.
Oh, yeah, no, don't do that. After beating the undefeated Eagles, the Jets are now 3-3, and Aaron Rodgers is walking without crutches. We are about to see a rehab faster than Ja Morant's 8-day Florida rebirth. Y'all remember that. Y'all remember that, right? It was quick. If you blinked, you might have missed it. But I know you remembered it.
To that point, after a 2-0 record since chastising the organization, if the Jets keep winning, he'll have to go back to Joe Theismann again.
Oh, gosh. Which, we were in the group chat. Mr. Taylor did introduce himself as Tyrod.
Yeah.
And I'm in the group chat. Like, I don't know what to believe. After L was like, it's Tyrod.
It's Tyrod.
All right. Our borders might be compromised, but at least the defense in our nation's capital is still airtight. 3 interceptions for the Commanders against the Falcons. Like L would say, get rid of him. Damn.
We've got more synergy than he's got with his entire receiving
corps. I know, that's crazy.
The Lions pummeled Tampa Bay. Only fitting because they were wearing those creamed sickle uniforms. Ooh. A throwback from the time that the Bucs used to wear them and had the worst winning percentage in the entire sport. Why not just make Annabelle your mascot while you're at it?
Oh, timely. Connecticut. You can still see the real Annabelle doll somewhere in, like, near Southington.
I learned yesterday for the first time in my life that Annabelle's like a real doll, like a real story.
Just right down the street in Connecticut.
It goes on tour.
In Southington.
Yeah, they keep it behind like double pane bulletproof glass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you pay for that?
People are weird, man.
That's true. People pay to see the Falcons.
Bulletproof glass both ways. Because you don't know Annabelle. She did that itchy trigger finger. All right, here we go. The Texans, with their third win of the season, have already matched their win total from all of last season. Houston remains high off that Stroud pack. Chopped and screwed.
Still too.
He got that Stroud. Miami has almost 3,000 yards of offense through 6 games, second most in NFL history behind only the 2000 Rams, affectionately known as the greatest show on turf. So are the Dolphins then the wettest show on surf?
That's good.
Do you like it?
That's good.
I really worked on that one, actually.
No, that's good. I could tell. You really put some thought into that.
Yeah.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The greatest show on turf was nasty.
Yeah.
Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, Ricky Prohl, White Lightning.
The Finns are right behind them.
They're about to be in front of them.
Yeah.
They're the scariest offense we've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Super spooky.
On the other end of that is just the spooky and the scary, but none of the, like, in a good positive way.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers. And of course, this wasn't just
a tough go.
The Dolphins beating up on the Panthers. This was also Bryce Young versus Tua Tagovailoa, former teammates at Alabama. Yep. Bryce is like, I wanted to go to Alabama because of Tua, because of what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was Tua good. And at the end of the game, because Bryce Young is now 0-for-5.
Yikes.
And however, in really good company. We're at the point of Bryce Young's very early career where like at first it was like, I think the first couple of weeks we talked about Bryce Young and it was like, ooh, these problems are, this is problematic. Like this isn't good. Now we're at the place where it really feels like kicking a puppy. So now we're doing things like saying, don't feel bad though. Look at all these other great quarterbacks that also were really bad to start their careers. And there's quite a list, right? You look at the other quarterbacks since 1967.
Okay.
To go number one overall and then lose at least their first five games. Jared Goff.
Oh.
It's worked out.
Fourth highest QBR in the NFL right now. And they just keep winning.
Eli Manning.
Oh, a couple Super Bowls.
Couple Super Bowls.
Patriot killer.
Probably going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Looks awesome in a three-quarter zip. Regular quarter zip, not three-quarter zip.
Tim Couch.
Okay, who's next?
Right. Alex Smith.
Oh, Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the highest completion percentages in NFL history.
Had a long career.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Trevor Lawrence.
T-Law, man.
No.
The book is still not written on him.
No. And Vinny Testaverde.
You talk about the Tampa Bay cream schools. Shout out to the U for Vinny. He had like a 47-year career.
Beloved. Yeah. He played till he's 60 years old. So the book is certainly not out or written on Bryce Young, but things are not going well. And they were going so poorly that Tua, and only a way that Tua could, because a lot of times the guys will just sort of blah, blah, blah to each other when they meet at the end.
Quick
and then they'll talk later on.
Yep.
That's what you don't know. They meet in the tunnels. They meet in the parking lots. Like, they talk.
They just hit them on text.
Tua decided, I'm going to have this conversation right now. I'm about to Tim Tebow give him a halftime speech in his ear. And it lasted about 30 seconds. I watched it happen live.
Bro needed a hug. And Tua was there to give that to him.
And probably a pep talk.
And also that too.
What do you think?
Or
it was
it a pep talk?
Well, what do you think he was saying?
Well, it was quite lengthy at the time, and I don't think maybe he wanted to like dwell on what just happened because Bryce is 0-6. And by the way, just optics wise, Tua's not the biggest quarterback in the league, but he like swallowed Bryce Young up.
Yeah,
that just goes to show like how
he's not a huge man.
Correct. And that's neither here nor there. But it's just again another optical illustration of like Bryce Young still is going to put on that NFL man weight. What was he saying? Bro, I'm telling you, bro. Everybody is down on crypto right now, bro. Which is why now is the time to buy crypto, bro. That's on everything I love, bro. Buy the dip. Trust. Buy the dip. Is probably what he said.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Something like that. I mean, Tua's in Miami now. A lot of crypto bros down there.
There is. I feel like for a while there, maybe you could like buy part of the Miami Dolphins with crypto. Maybe I just made that up, but it feels like something that probably you could have could have happened.
It's like, I don't have crypto, but I got an NFT I can trade you. And now NFTs are just... Do you got
down
any
the drain.
NFTs?
No.
I don't know.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. You diversify a portfolio? Okay, so anyway.
There's a couple of people as we go on an ADD tour, and I'll say this. There's a couple of people who I don't know, but I listen to their word as if it is the gospel.
Okay.
And when years ago, Warren Buffett.
There it is.
Warren Buffett, one of the most
Oracle
rich
of
men
Omaha.
In the world. When he said, crypto's not real. NFT's not real. None of these things are real. Their value is just in hype.
Yep.
I was like, I'm out. And I also don't understand it, so I don't invest in it.
Ah, that's the lead.
I buried the lead a little bit there.
Yeah, I was heavy on Shiba Inu for a while.
What is that?
It's a form of crypto.
Okay.
It was the one that I could afford because I was super late on Bitcoin. I'm stuck for like $40, L. I was dabbling in the market with just like $40.
Literal change.
Literal change.
Yeah.
I actually probably left a little bit of money in that particular crypto purse.
Oh, you got so much money to spend, you're just letting it sit.
I'm done with it, though. I'm done with it. If crypto ever becomes worth a penny, though, I'm going to be a rich.
You're going to be the guy. You're going to cash in. You're going to be like Pete Davidson, who bought the last remaining blank VHS tapes in the world. He now owns all that's left. They don't make VHS tapes anymore.
You don't think they could just fire up the...
They don't make them anymore. No, they don't make them anymore. They're obsolete. And so he bought all of the remaining VHS tapes that are left in the world.
I have a, if you don't mind going on a quick ADD tour, I have a touch of a story time on bad investments.
Okay.
Okay. The year is 2009. What are we calling this? Oh, story time.
Yeah.
Gary Strysky is an undergrad living with my parents, but I am a financial advisor. actually at a credit union.
Oh,
I'm
no.
doing mortgages, loans, opening accounts.
Okay.
I'm actually pretty smart.
Yeah.
I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty good with numbers. It's the Polish side. So one guy comes in, he's a member at the credit union. Don't long blink me like that. You're on camera, L. Show the long blink in the edit, please. Okay. So this member comes in and post 2008, so we're rebounding as a nation in terms of economical downturn. And he goes, I'm telling you right now, the next big thing is the revaluing of Iraqi dinar, because we were still in the conflict there in Iraq. And he said, we are going to take over in Iraq, which of course we did, we have, I don't know. But he was like, when they revalue their dinar, that's what the currency is called, they're going to revalue it and it's going to shoot way high. So like an Iraqi dinar, when they revalue it, one's going to be worth like 100.
Wow.
He was such a believer. I'm not kidding. He was such a believer. He took out a home equity line of credit
on his home.
He had a family, wife, kids, $100,000 line of credit. He took that entire $100,000 of equity and bought Iraqi dinar. So you know who else bought some Iraqi dinar? Literally every single person in the credit union. And I was leading the charge.
You were promoting it. Like you were going around. Nope. You had like spreadsheets. You were like, I've got something. I've got some inside information. This man has mortgaged his whole life on this. Yeah. And I don't know this man. But yeah. Clearly this man can't be this stupid. He must know something.
Yeah.
I'm just going to blindly follow this man. I don't know.
My boy got equity post 2008. So he clearly did something right. Nobody had equity. Everybody was subprime lending and subprime borrowing. But this dude was in the black. So I said, well, if he's pretty smart with his money, and I haven't heard anybody else talk about this, I'm going to buy. At the time, I was making $15 an hour as a financial specialist, and I was living at home. So I had a little change to spare. You could say, I didn't pay rent. I spent $500 on Iraqi dinar. I'm still waiting for it to revalue. I'll bring it next time we're in studio. I have the crispiest of crispy bills of Iraqi dinar. They're like red, maroon. They're beautifully illustrated. They're so pretty. And when they revalue, they're going to be even more beautiful to look at.
We've been waiting how many years for this to happen?
We're going on 2 decades. Hey, it's like a U.S. savings bond.
Oh, sure.
It's like it's interest that's being elongated.
But they're supposed to appreciate with time.
Correct. And listen, I've appreciated over the time that I...
The lesson that you learned blindly investing in things you know nothing about.
The $500 lesson is worth so much more.
God.
And I'll put an end to this quick story time by saying... That member defaulted on his loan. And I think the credit union eventually did own his home.
I'm not laughing.
Hey, yo. Sadness. Hey, yo. He disappeared. He was gone. I don't know if he had to relocate to Iraq for that money to get put to use. But, L, I have the bills at my house and I will bring them next time.
This is one of those times I wish you could pan just everyone in the whole studio just being like, why is this happening? And of course, it's happening to Gary. By the way, Gary, I just want you to know, based on the naivete that you just displayed here on this podcast last show,
yep.
Your inboxes are about to be filled with people who have Nigerian cousins who just need your account information and a little bit of goodwill.
That's right.
To get them over here and get you $1 billion.
Yeah. They just got bestowed so much money from a royal uncle who unfortunately had to pass. Yep. Oh, trust me. I've gotten those emails.
Hey, guys, I found you a sucker.
Hey, I've gotten those emails. And hey, listen, come. Come.
Speaking of being a sucker,
yeah,
I thought about this as I was watching our two undefeateds go down, the Niners go down, the Eagles go down. Last week on the podcast, we were talking about how good it feels to be a Niner. Kyle Shanahan's over here talking about the Browns whilst shading the Cowboys. You know, we thought this could be our toughest test of the season. I mean, we thought that was going to be the Cowboys. So now they lose, right? They lose to the PJ Walker-led Browns. And of course, the Eagles lose and the Eagles and Cowboys hate each other. And I'm watching on Twitter, I'm watching like a lot of Cowboys fans like secondhand gloat and feel really like stomping on their graves a little bit. And I'm wondering, is that pathetic? And I'm asking for a friend who might be interested in watching an NLCS that has a team in it that beat her team. And if they don't win, is that sad and pathetic to laugh? Even though your team couldn't beat them? Cowboys fans is who I'm asking for on their behalf for them. What I'm asking
I don't know if you're talking.
Is it the definition of sports pathetic to laugh at the downfall of a team who your team could not beat? Is that sort of pathetic? Because I think that it is, but I also am not sure that that is enough to stop me from doing it tonight when I become the world's biggest Arizona Diamondbacks fan.
And no, that's fine. I think that's sports. If it wasn't a Cowboys fan, and it's similar to people being like, oh, well, if we weren't going to win, well, at least we lost to the eventual champs. I think that's sort of in the same basket.
Do you?
I think it's more elevated because it's Cowboys fans.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I give it a pass.
All right.
I give it a pass. You don't.
No, I think that feels sort of sad and pathetic, but like I said, I'm not above it.
Well, I'm not saying that it's not, but I'm saying if anybody is allowed to do that, it's sports fans.
It's sports fans.
Like, we're all losers.
Yeah, 100%.
We're like make or break after effectively a child's game.
The beautiful thing is that sports fans as a whole have one thing in common. We totally and completely lack self-awareness.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful group to be a part of.
It is. I feel so welcome here.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Before we get out of here, should we solve the internet's problems today?
This is exactly why I came here today.
Yeah, I think so too. So there are two really big things that are happening right now across social media that I think we can give definitive final answers to, and no one will have to discuss anymore. Let's start on the sports side.
Okay.
The Buffs, the Colorado Buffs.
Yes.
Spanking that ass.
Yep.
On Saturday against Stanford, Friday against Stanford, just smacking an ass. 29-0 at halftime.
That was very
as
melodic.
Expected. Everybody thought this was going to happen.
Yeah,
you know,
Stanford.
Travis Hunter's back. Like,
boom.
The Buffs haven't exactly been rolling the last few weeks, but like, this is Stanford.
Yeah.
They do not.
It was Colorado's lone win of last year. That's
correct.
How bad
the only
Stanford
team,
is.
Yeah, was Stanford. They come back. They're up 29-0 at the half. They come back. They don't score a single point.
Ruh-roh.
They lose in double OT to Stanford.
Ruh-roh.
That in and of itself, not great. And then...
here it comes.
Here we go.
Damn.
Twitter sleuths.
Yep.
To
which there are many, and they are so good.
So many. Pretty sure Shador Sanders was posting links to Shador Sanders merch during halftime of that game.
Checks out.
Where they then went on to not only not score another point, but he threw the game-ending pick.
Game-sealing pick in double OT.
And I'm kind of torn here because there is such a thing as having social media managers.
Yep.
Can we make the argument that it wasn't him? Can we make the argument that it was a social media manager or that it was a scheduled IG story?
But you can schedule.
You can?
You can schedule IG posts. I don't think that was scheduled.
I think it was him?
I think they went into halftime and Shador was like, damn, we have 29 zip. And I know the merch. He posts about it all the time. He links it all the time after games. So I think he saw an opportunity. We're dialed in. People are watching. We're up a 30 piece.
This is the time.
Yeah. He was hitting, boom. He was hitting that opportunity. And nobody would have been any the wiser had they just won.
Yeah.
This is very much Pablo Sandoval 2015 bathroom break liking IG models during a game.
Mm. Yes. For those of you.
You got to close up those phones. You got to lock them away.
Pablo Sandoval, also known as Kung Fu Panda back in the day, was third baseman for the Red Sox for a bit while we were there.
Yep.
Pablo came there having done some things. It was not a great run for.
Three-time World Series champ.
Yeah.
Replicate that in Boston.
It was bad in Boston. And at the time, he was under a lot of pressure for not being able to be who he was and being.
Belt was under a lot of pressure too.
Yes. Yeah. That too. He kind of came from like a lovable Kung Fu Panda to, you know.
Can't do that in Boston.
He just, it just was all bad for Panda at the time.
Yep.
And then he was busted doing what again?
Bathroom break.
Taking during a bath during game bathroom breaks.
I think he was hitless during that game. He was saucing likes on, because this was when you could still, I believe, on Instagram, see who your followers were engaging with.
Yeah.
So-and-so liked this pic 18 minutes ago. Do the math. Wait, what?
What?
18 minutes ago?
It's the fifth inning.
Yeah. What? That was in between innings. Yeah. What?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember he was telling everybody that he had to go take a...
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I just had to take a...
But then he admitted it. But then he was like, yep, nope, that was on me. And then he had to come out and, you know, hey. So yes, Shedeur Sanders definitely sauced up that link. You talk about social media managers. If it was, even worse, it's his brother. Deion Sanders Jr.
Yeah.
He's like the social media guy on the team.
But again, maybe, to your point, maybe his brother was like, this is the perfect time to post the merch link because my brother is slaying right now in this game. They're killing it. Everything's good. Yep. Just a quick reminder, a quick check-in.
Yep.
You can go ahead while you're feeling at your most.
Boom. Like, yo, Shedeur is spinning. Let me go see what he's all about on Instagram.
Let me grab some merch.
The thing about that, though, is, wait a minute. I just had a brain fart. It was going to be a good point. Just trust me on that.
Okay.
I don't recall the point.
Do you want them to cut that part out of the podcast, or do you want them to just
no?
Like,
we're
roll?
Human.
Okay.
I had an awesome point.
It just wasn't.
It just kind of just sort of disappeared on me. It just sort of kind of evaporated. That's on me.
There is one conversation I wish would evaporate as we look to solve. So we've decided that Shedeur Sanders did in fact.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
And we're good or bad with this.
Because at the time of this taping, it's Monday afternoon. So had it been anybody but Shedeur Sanders, we would have already gotten the damage control.
Yeah.
Hey, that wasn't Shedeur. That was so-and-so, or it was a scheduled, or it was X, Y, Z reason. We have not, therefore, Shedeur.
Well, because if anything, we're going to hear his dad say that didn't have any reason to do with why we lost that game. And he will be absolutely correct, because it did not. The idea, I think, you know, it's the fans at home who have never really been in those locker rooms or experienced like sort of what a halftime looks like or been around sports in that same way. That this idea that, you know, it's like Friday Night Lights and like they all huddle together and the coach gives them, that is not at all what happens.
Y'all go to the bathroom.
It's nothing. Like, yeah, they go to the bathroom. Treatment. They go get oranges. They get treatments. Like, they're not, you know, sitting around stewing over what you, like, that's not a thing. So you can take a couple minutes and post some merch links. Yeah. Again, to your point, it's just because he ended up losing that game. But one conversation that's not going away that I wish would, the woman who has sparked 1,000 debates about deservedness, about keeping up with the Joneses.
Oof, yeah.
This woman is upset and refusing to get out of the car because her first date, brought her to the Cheesecake Factory.
An absolute pillar institution in communities across America. The gall.
The Cheesecake Factory.
Drake even likes to go there.
It's a first date. By the way, you could say whatever you want about the Cheesecake Factory, how big the menu is, blah, 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 blah.
It's a phone book menu.
It ain't cheap. Okay?
It's not.
Cheesecake Factory is not cheap. You don't go there because you're a cheap date. This wasn't IHOP he took her to. He didn't take her to Taco Bell. Delicious, but let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Known for their budget-friendly prices.
Hell yeah.
And she refused to get out of the car.
That was crazy.
You stuck up, entitled.
Boom.
I can't stand the idea that this is even, that we're giving this woman the opportunity and ability to debate whether this was a good first date or not.
I don't think there was much of a debate. I've read the comments. Everybody was team cheesecake. Everybody likes to go there. And the point that maybe some people even if some people were like, yeah, cheesecake, ew, that's a small sliver of the overall population who are in tune with this story. But she was late, and that's why they missed their original reservation.
Correct.
This was a backup plan. My dude had a contingency plan in order.
Correct.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's
nobody
green
does
flag
that.
City.
Yes.
Green flag, green flag, green flag.
So many green flags.
An appetizer, $17.95 there.
Thank you.
The Buffalo Blaster, insane.
I know.
I don't get it.
Name another place where you feel like Italian, you can have that, and I can have Chinese food.
You could have that.
You can visit every single national wonder in
every
one
continent.
Visit. Right there in one visit.
It's unbelievable.
And get some Linda's triple chocolate fudge cake to go. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't get it either. We have a cheesecake. I mean, we're here in Central Connecticut. There's a cheesecake right where I live.
Right down in the city.
Every time I walk by it, it's packed.
It always is.
It's packed. Families, dates, people eating by themselves, people who are just getting stuff to go.
I also think that's because we come from a basic generation. Mm-hmm. Like, we're basic.
Yes.
And coming from the South, where it's all fast food chains or it's all chains, moving to like New England, where it was none of that, where everything was like a hand curated mom and pop store with like some history. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And so whenever, and I've learned to love it and I've grown into it. And I like that. I like I go to a bagel shop like, now instead
steak
of whatever.
Tips. Just give me the whole steak.
Give me the whole steak.
But steak tips are a thing up here.
Right.
They're wonderful.
But when me and my husband go to Florida, our favorite basic treat, Bahama Breeze.
Gosh, what do you get there? I've never been.
Oh, man. The pasta, the bow tie pasta.
Oh.
Crack.
Yeah.
The weird drinks that you like stuff a beer in on one side. What? It's a margarita, but then they like drain a beer in it.
Oh, yeah. How does the gravity work?
I don't
those?
Know. The physics are impossible. That's what I'm saying, Gary. Bahama Breeze is magical.
And then by the time you're done with that drink, you don't.
The rest of the night is a breeze.
And she's too drunk to even wonder how the gravity works in that.
Omar's like, getting you to bed with me is the breeze after Bahama Breeze.
And it only cost me $13.95 for this appetizer. Damn.
The last thing that we'll answer. So we've definitively all agreed that this woman is the worst woman.
She's actually crazy.
She's a horrible woman.
Wild. 48 oysters is way too much.
But is she worse than Jada Pinkett Smith?
No.
Who is actively trying to destroy Will Smith more and more each day.
For what's the end goal here?
Well, I don't understand what's happening. Do
I feel
you hate
so
this
bad.
Man?
The answer is yes. Yes.
I mean, for those of you, just a very quick recap. Jada Pinkett Smith recently reveals, because she's got a book coming out and she's trying to sell it, that, surprise, me and Will have actually been split up since 2016. I don't know why he slapped that man and called me his wife. That shocked me that he would call me his wife, because we are not together. But we did pretend to be together for the public, but that was because of Will and not because of me. And now I'm just trying to speak my truth and you guys need to feel something for me. What?
And I have such a simple brain that description to me and everything that has transpired on social media, maybe I'm too dumb to comprehend, but I know what it makes me feel. And it makes me feel terrible for the men in black. That guy is an American hero. He saved us from aliens on multiple different occasions. He saved us from robots. He didn't cure CTE, but he brought it to the forefront in that one movie.
Where he did that horrible accent.
Will Smith is a treasure, and I feel bad for him.
That's true. Will Smith has really...
He's done everything.
He saved, well, what was left of the world from zombies. He saved his dog.
iRobot.
He couldn't even save his dog.
Whoa. First of all...
That wasn't iRobot. That was I Am Legend. A lot of eyes.
Yeah, there really is a lot of eyes with him.
I'm just here to definitively say whatever Will Smith did to Jada Pinkett Smith, enough.
Yeah, please stop.
Wave the flag.
Please stop.
This is brutal and it's getting worse by the day. Good God, woman, please stop talking about this man.
Please.
Just Voldemort Will Smith.
Jesus.
Just
damn.
Come up with another name.
That is the Fresh Prince, man.
It is just really getting pretty hard to watch. And so with that, Will Smith, if you're listening, This is a safe space watching. For you.
Yeah.
If you want, you can come here. We'll never talk about her. We'll never talk about that slap. Yeah. Team Will Smith.
Facts.
Unless Chris Rock wants to come on the show, at which point I really like Chris Rock, so then Team Chris Rock.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'll turn coach you in a minute.
Well, that's for another episode.
Go D-backs.
Thought we were done.
No, I joked. I'm like 38 hot. I joked last week on Taking the L on SportsCenter that like, oh, okay, my Braves suck, but at least like I got my Georgia Bulldogs and we haven't lost in 2 years and we're streaking for another national championship. And I joked because I showed a picture of Drake wearing a goddamn Georgia polo. Like, oh no, we're f***ed. I literally said that. And we came back in here because I just got the alert that Brock Bowers, baby Gronk, the best tight end in sports, or at least in college football.
Best weapon.
Our only weapon.
Best weapon.
Hurt his ankle against Vanderbilt and is out for the season because he has to have ankle surgery.
That sucks.
I'm like, listen, I love Drake. I love him as an artist. I have said time and time again that if I had to pick one person, I'm on a deserted island, I choose his discography because it's just so vast. But with all due respect to Drake, leave us the alone. Why do you keep doing this to us sports teams and to our fan bases? Drake, stop it.
Drake, you got to start shopping at The Gap, dude. Nothing with a logo. Nothing
Please.
With a mascot. Nothing with words, bro. Banana
Just wear
Republic,
white tees.
Kirkland signature, bro. They sell them in a six pack, dude. Like, please stop
please,
this.
Please, Drake, we didn't do anything to you. I don't even know why you had that polo.
Lululemon, bro.
Why?
Something. Logo-less, bro.
Stop
it's tagless.
Breaking us.
The three-peat probably not going to happen.